the second chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians 1:10. Now, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with any brilliance of oratory or wise argument to announce to you the mystery of God. I was resolved that the only knowledge I would have while I was with you was knowledge of Jesus and of him as the crucified Christ. I came among you in weakness, in fear, and great trembling. And what I spoke and proclaimed was not meant to convince by philosophical argument, but to demonstrate the convincing power of the Spirit, so that your faith should not depend on human wisdom, but on the power of God. But still, to those who have reached maturity, we do talk of a wisdom, not, it is true, a philosophy of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who will not last long now. It is of the mysterious wisdom of God that we talk, the wisdom that was hidden, which God predestined to be for our glory before the ages began. None of the rulers of this age recognized it, for if they had recognized it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is, as Scripture says, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, what the mind of man cannot visualize, all that God has prepared for those who love him. To us, though, God has given revelation through the Spirit, as the Spirit explores the depths of everything, even the depths of God. When John threw in his lot with St. Teresa of Avila in her work of reform, he changed his name to John of the Cross. And John's life was a whole teaching, a living, and a preaching of the mystery of the cross. Suffering is one of the great emotional and one of the greatest difficulties we have in the way of faith. The God who loves us, the God who is all-powerful, and yet the God who allows great suffering. We are all called to suffer. If you come after me, you must take up your cross and follow me. And whatever language we speak, a cross is a cross, and a yoke is a yoke, and a burden is a burden. And yet it is through this suffering that we will be redeemed and we will redeem others. I believe it is through this suffering that we gain something of the virtue of the first of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the poor, the Greek word patakos, those who are utterly destitute. And is there any greater poverty than the poverty of great suffering, when one feels helpless and hopeless? And that is union with Christ, that we let ourselves be totally vulnerable and totally open to Christ. We are all unique. Everyone is different from everyone else. Even down to our very fingertips, we are different. And having been called in our own individuality, with our own limitations as well as our own talents, we learn in the midst of these limitations the wonder of God's love. The Lord does not demand of us, I think, that we get everything right. The Lord isn't demanding great success, but holiness is the pilgrim path, redeeming failure. John of the Cross was a man who suffered a great deal of opposition, even from his own. And it was in the middle of this suffering that he found the wonder of God. As Sister Ruth Burroughs puts it, while we might want to say, my will be done, it is only when we can honestly and truly say, your will be done, your kingdom come. And God wants us to trust him enough to live with him unafraid, totally defenseless in his presence. We can truly say that John of the Cross's teaching has as its sole aim to bring us to this inner poverty, which is our truth. As John said in the ascent of Mount Carmel, and when we shall have been brought to nothing, when our humility is perfect, then will take place the union of the soul and God, which is the highest and noblest estate attainable in this life.